over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing. Share it with your friends. And we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com. I'm gonna show love and power to show this mercy and grace to conquer the nation, declaring His praise, igniting revival with signs and
when I first went to the Philippines, we had Muslims from the Abu Sayyaf, the Islamic radical group, in the city of Mindanao. They had planned to kidnap me and my other pastor friend, and to kidnap us and to extort? Is it called extort? When they call the American embassy and say, we have two of your missionaries and we're going to kill them if you don't give us money. So we almost got kidnapped by the Abu Sayyaf, and I was able to call a friend, and I was able to intervene because they got stuck in traffic. So we were able to get out of the car, and then I called a friend who called a friend to come and rescue us off the highway, you know. So we got kind of saved from that kidnapping. And there's a long story behind that. I'm skipping a lot of details, you know, a lot of details. But so this guy comes to pick us up. His name is Ted Malungan. I don't know him. He don't know me. He pastored a small rural church in the countryside in Bulacan, Giginto of the Philippines. And his church maybe had 250 people outdoors, no roof. If it rained, they all got wet. And it was just in a field in the countryside, you know. And he picked us up, and he took us to Starbucks. Now, you have to understand, Starbucks is not a big deal here. But when you go to the developing countries, Starbucks is for the rich people. The politicians go there. The politicians' kids go there. That's who goes there. So he took us to Starbucks, and he bought us drinks. I was so shocked by that. Then he took us for dinner and paid for our dinner. And then he brought us to his office. We sat there in his office, and we just fellowshipped. And we didn't preach nothing for him. And he gave us an offering. We didn't even preach, and he gave us an offering. I can't remember what it was. It might have been like $100. But I had never been to the developing world, to the mission field, and got an offering. That was the first time. Now, this was in 2005. Fast forward to 2000 and I think 17 or 16, I bump into him again. Now he has, I think, something like 60 plus churches. Now he has a Range Rover truck, brand new, paid for. You know who bought him the Range Rover truck? Have you ever heard of Gerard Butler? You ever seen the movie 300? You look like you don't watch a lot of movies. 300 is a very famous Hollywood movie. Gerard Butler is a very famous actor. Gerard Butler also played the machine gun preacher in a movie about a missionary. Well, Gerard Butler bought him that brand new 2017 Range Rover. Why? Because God had so blessed Ted. Now he's a bishop. Now he's Bishop Ted Malungan. God has so blessed his ministry that he had over 40, 50 churches. He was having miracles, signs, wonders, and he was casting out demons. He has a deliverance ministry that focuses on casting out demons. And Gerard Butler has saw the miracles and asked Ted Malungan to pray for him. He prayed for Gerard Butler, this famous Hollywood actor. He was touched by the power of God, and he bought him a Range Rover. Hallelujah. He has a big mansion, and he was running for senator. So when I met him 10 years later, he's running for senator. He has a mansion, a brand new Range Rover, on over 60 churches. The pastor who gave to us out of his lack, out of his need. And I heard we actually got together and we went to go preaching together. And we went together to Mindanao, to the Abu Sayyaf stronghold. We went there. We went there where the Muslims were killing the Christians. And they killed two of our pastors. The Muslims killed two of our pastors a couple weeks before we arrived. They murdered them. Even the pastors that came on the bus, the day we were preaching, the Muslims got on the bus with machine guns. And they were threatening to kill the people there because they were claiming that we think you're Christians. They were all pastors, but they were pretending to be Muslims. But thank God they escaped that one. Only two were killed. And so we got to that place in southern Mindanao, and he got up, and you know what he preached to those poor pastors? He preached prosperity to them. And he told them his testimony, how God took him from nothing and made him a wealthy political leader in the country because of his generosity. And I was in the audience, just blown away, thinking that I knew him in 2005. I knew him when he just scratched together all he had to give two foreigners. You know, because you know, their mindset is the foreigners are all rich. And matter of fact, the pastor that I was with, he had a lot of money. I didn't have nothing, but he had a lot of money because I'm an orphan. I don't come from nothing. But the pastor I was with had a lot of money, and he blessed us. That pastor, God brought him up to the Senate of the country and blessed him. Bishop Ted Malangan is one of the most influential pastors now in the Philippines. Amen. God honors your giving. So the greatest thing that I can do when I go to these nations is not give to them, but teach them to give. Even if their greatest offering, all they can scratch up is $50. And I spent $3,000 to fly there, flights, hotels, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, and they give me $50. That $50 is like $5 million to them. And God will receive that, and God will note that, and God will bless them. So the best thing you could do is go into poor areas and take up an offering, not give an offering. Amen. Now there is, of course, a time and a place to go in and feed the poor. The scripture commands us to do that. But if you're trying to train pastors, you're trying to train leaders, you have to break them out of the poverty mentality. Amen. Amen. So let's pray over the offering. Father, we thank you tonight for everyone's giving, anyone who may have been encouraged to give online. We bind that spirit that says somebody else will do it. Somebody else will give. We rebuke that lying demon and we cast it out in Jesus' name. And we thank you, God, that you are calling, Father God, those in the reach of this ministry to sow and be a part of this planting of this mission base, this mission work here in Broken Arrow. And we thank you, Father God, for giving a great and a glorious return. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Scott Larson, one of our partners in Illinois, he has 5 kids, a single dad, and God told him to start giving to our church. Single dad, 5 kids. And his job, I think he cooks at the high school. That's his job. And he started giving us, I think, a couple $100 every month. And God canceled all of his debts. Another guy named John Engelman, a partner in our ministry. I know him from Bible school. I know both these guys from Bible school. He's been sowing. He's got promoted, I think, 3 times on his job to manager and foreman, and God's been blessing him. And then this week, an IT guy who develops websites had corona, almost died. We prayed for him. God touched him and healed him. He sowed $100, and within, I think, a day, he sent me the testimony. Within a day, he said he got a contract for $6,000 from his nurse. His nurse said, oh, you make websites? Oh, could you make a website for me? Within a day of sowing the $100. And I told the young man, I said, you know what? I've been getting a lot of testimonies. This church is good ground to sow into. Even though we're just starting out, and when something is starting out, it looks small. But we don't despise the small beginnings. But this is fertile ground. We're reaching the nations. So I'm excited about that. And I thank God for those guys who've been, those three guys, one Arizona, one Indiana, one Illinois. They're not mega rich and they're not giving millions. You know, they're from humble backgrounds, but they're taking and they're sacrificially giving. And we do appreciate that. And all of you here, mostly people in our church, students and the people who, you know, are not CEOs and so forth, and you're giving sacrificially, and we do appreciate every one of you, and we believe God is honoring your seeds. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. And I think some of you might have been here when we were teaching on the seven spirits of God. So let's read verse 1, 2, 3, 4. It says that there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. As I said on Sunday, it should be, or in the English, it really would say, there shall come forth a branch out of the stem, excuse me, a vine out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch, another word here in the Hebrew I looked up again today, is a sprouting vine shall grow out of Jesse's roots. And the Spirit of the Lord, in other words, shall come from the lineage of Jesse, David, King David, so forth. The Messiah will come. He'll be like a branch, a vine sprouting out. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge or rule the poor, and he shall reprove with righteousness or equity, the King James says, for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. So we said here that verses 2 and 3 list off seven spirits. Verses 2 and 3 list off seven spirits. Why is this relevant to us? Well, these spirits, we could call them anointings. Can you say with me anointings? In Spanish, they say unción. Unción, right? We could call these seven anointings. And we said there's seven. And the categories are here. The first one, Spirit of the Lord, being one. Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Two, the Spirit of wisdom. Three, and understanding. Four, the Spirit of counsel and might. Five, might. Six, the Spirit of knowledge. And seven, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. We're seeing seven spirits of God here. Now we're going to take you quickly to Zechariah chapter 4. If you don't know where Zechariah is, it's right before Malachi. If you're Italian, you say Malachi. If you're Hebrew, you probably say Malachi or something like that, or Malachi. So you have the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament. Go one book before is Malachi, and one book before that is Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. If you need a Bible, I think we have some. If you need a Bible, anybody? Okay. Now, how many spirits of God, did we see in Isaiah 11? We counted seven spirits, right? So let's take a look here at Zechariah chapter 4. He says here that the angel that talked with me came again, and he waked me, as a man that waketh out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? And I said, I've looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it. And how many lamps? Seven. And his seven lamps thereon. And seven pipes to the seven lamps which are on top thereof. So we see here this like a menorah. Has anybody seen a Jewish menorah? It's a candle that has one straight up and down stick, and then there's three more sticks that go from left to right, two, left to right, then three, left to right. So there's actually, on top of each one of them, candles. So there's one, two, three, then the center one, then one, two, three. So there's seven lights or seven candles on this candlestick. So this is what Zechariah's seen. He's seen these a lamp with seven candle heads. Verse 3, he saw now two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of the bowl. And so I answered and I spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these? Just like you're thinking to me now, what are these? You know, what's all these slow talking details? What's all this about, and who cares, and why is it relevant to me? What are these, Lord, he said. In verse 5, the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, you don't know what these are? That's what he said. You don't know what these are? Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spoke to him, saying, this is the word of the Lord. Can you say with me, this is the word of the Lord? As we opened up service today, we began to all pray in tongues, and I had an interpretation. How did I get the interpretation? Did I hear a voice? Or did I see a message? I told you I saw a ear of corn. So this is what's happening. He's saying here, look at this, look at this. What do you see? He said, I see a candlestick with seven candles on top. What does it mean? He said, this is the word of the Lord. So the image that he sees in the spirit realm is a message. The image I saw in the spirit realm, the corn husk, was a message. The corn is there. The corn is ripe. Peel off the husk. Discover it. Peel it back. Find it. Dig for it. It's ready. It's here. You gotta press in. You gotta dig the wells. You have to peel into it. It's the word of the Lord to us today. So here, he was getting exactly similar prophecy. The angel wakes him up. What do you see? I see a candlestick with seven lampstands on it. And he said, what is it? He said, this is the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord? Verse 6. He answered and said to him, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the guy who's seeing the vision. Saying, not by might, nor by power. That word power, well, first of all, let's back up. The word of the Lord is this, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's the word of the Lord. Can you repeat it with me and say, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Okay, that's the word that he saw. That's the meaning of these seven candlesticks. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Might means military effort. It's not going to be by military effort. It's not going to be by physical force, nor by power. Power means human effort. It's not going to be by your own best effort, you trying to work it out. Matter of fact, you trying to work something out is what we call witchcraft. Witchcraft is not voodoo and shaking two snakes together and blowing some ash on something. That's not witchcraft. Witchcraft means to manipulate. That's what witchcraft is. So someone can manipulate with tears. Someone can manipulate with, I don't want to say in front of the kids, right? This, you know, people can manipulate with anger. They get angry, so you obey them. That's all witchcraft, okay? So he says it's not going to be by your human effort. You're not going to have to manipulate it, trick it. You're not going to have to bribe your way into it. It's not going to be by force, military power, gun power. It's not going to be by your own physical effort and ability, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Then he goes on, verse 7, and he's speaking to Zerubbabel about the great problem that's in front of him. And he calls that problem a mountain. If you remember, Jesus in the New Testament said, whosoever shall speak to this mountain and declare it shall be removed, it shall be removed. Zerubbabel is getting the same message from the angel. And the angel is saying about his problem. Oh, great mountain that stands before Zerubbabel, you shall be made a plain. And you shall bring forth the headstone. Because Zerubbabel was building a wall. And the headstone is the last stone you put. It's the capstone when you're building a building, building a wall. It's the last stone you put. He said, you're going to finish the job that you started. You're going to be the one to finish it. What you started, you will finish it. And when you're finished it, and when you see it come to fruition, you're going to lay that headstone shouting and crying, grace, grace did it. It wasn't by my might. It wasn't by my effort. It wasn't by my connections. It wasn't by my PhD. It wasn't by who I knew in the city government. It wasn't by my great charismatic personality. It wasn't by my, you know, like in Hollywood, they say they sleep their way to the top. Amen. I didn't sleep my way to the top to get here, but it's by grace. So how does this seven candlesticks, how is that interpreted by God as a message saying not by might, not by power, not by your own effort, but it's going to be by grace? How does that interpret that? Because God is using the menorah and the seven candlesticks to express to him the seven anointings, the seven spirits of God. That is the empowering of the Holy Spirit that's going to be with you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you strength. He's going to give you might. He's going to give you all these things are supernatural, and it's going to be by those things, these seven anointings that you're going to do it. It's going to be by grace, not by works. So that's why this menorah is representing not by might, not by physical effort. It's representing by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of wisdom, by the Spirit of might, by the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, by the Spirit, by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So we call these anointings of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 10. And I have to define to you what this word anointing means. And it's important that I define it for you because it's used so much in the church that people oftentimes say it, use it, sing it, talk about it. And also there's so much Christianity that unbelievers even use these words but don't know what it means. So what does it mean, this word anointing? Because if we're going to say these seven spirits are seven anointings, Let's get our definitions right. If you have the wrong definition, you end up in the wrong destination. Has anybody ever typed into a Google Maps an address and you got to the wrong place? And you're like, wait a minute, it's 777 Cherry Street. But you didn't know it was 77 Cherry Street, Collinsville. So you're in Collinsville, and actually it was 777 Cherry Street, Tulsa. Hallelujah. That's happened to anybody here? That's happened to me. And I'm like, what the heck? Oh, I'm in the wrong city. So if we have the wrong definition, we'll have the wrong destination. We have to get the definitions correct here. Amen. Isaiah 10:27 gives us a definition of what the anointing is. Can you say with me, anointing? Now, it's important to know what the anointing is because Jesus, his last name is what? Christ. He is Jesus Christ. Now, you know that's not his legal last name, but Christ is his title. He's Jesus the Christ. Well, what does Christ mean? Christ means the anointing. He's Jesus, the anointed one. So it's very important. Christians don't know what the anointing is, but they call him Jesus Christ. And unbelievers say, Jesus Christ, in a swear word, and they don't even know what Christ is. So we need to have an understanding of what the right definition is. Christ is the anointed one. So it says here, speaking of the anointing, Isaiah 10:27, that it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I saw a meme this morning, and it was a meme of two fried eggs, and the yolk was broken, and the yolk was spilled all over the frying pan. And the lady said, I accidentally cooked my eggs with anointing oil today. I grabbed the wrong bottle. I thought it was a bottle of olive oil, and it was a bottle of anointing oil, and it broke the yolk. You got it. This is not talking about the yolk from an egg. This is talking about the yolk of slavery. You see, before the earth was, in this last 100 years, we've had a knowledge explosion. But before 100 years plus ago, it was normal to see oxen pulling carts and oxen plowing fields. And they would have this big thing around their neck. And that thing was called the yoke. And it's a symbol of bondage and slavery. And he's saying that the bondage of slavery that's upon you shall be destroyed by the anointing. So the anointing is defined as the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Can you say that with me? Say burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. The scripture tells us in Acts 10:38, yeah, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because sickness is an oppression. Sickness is a yoke. And Jesus was anointed. He had the power of God, the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God upon his life. When did he get it? He got it when he was baptized. That's why the first 30 years he did no miracles. For 30 years of Jesus' life, he lived like a normal boy. It wasn't until he had the anointing come on him. That's why we say it wasn't until he was anointed. So he was anointed when the Spirit of God came upon him at baptism. The heavens opened up, a dove came down and rested upon him, and the voice came from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." That day he was anointed, and when he was anointed, he began to do miracles and perform miracles. Why? Because he was anointed with the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So when we get now to the Old Testament, we get to thousands of years ago, you would find that the Jewish people, when they would have a new king, they would take a bottle of olive oil and they would have the king kneel down and they would pour the olive oil, and they had a special, they would put like frankincense and myrrh and cinnamon. They have a special scent they would put in this olive oil. And they would dedicate it to God. Then they would pour the oil on the king. And that was called an anointing. They were anointing the king. They were pouring the oil on the king. Well, what does that oil, why oil? Because we see in Zechariah chapter 4 that there were two olive trees that were pouring oil into the seven candlesticks. So these seven anointings are represented by the oil, but not the oil of an olive tree, which he saw, the olive tree, but actually it's heavenly oil, heavenly fragrance that carries a substance of miracle-working ability, miracle-working power. So now God tells Zechariah, you're going to finish what I've called you to do, but you're not going to do it with force, and you're not going to do it with your own effort, but it's only going to be by relying on the anointing. Amen. So how does that apply to us today? We are relying too much on ourselves. What we know, who we know, what we can do. When the anointing does it, it's easy. Let me say that again. When the anointing does it, it's easy. And the anointing is not just for preaching, which is where we have kind of thought, oh, the anointing is for the preacher, for the preaching, for the praying for people. That's the anointing. The anointing is for raising children. The anointing is for legislation. The anointing is for marriage. Hallelujah. The anointing is for work. The anointing is for cooking. The anointing is available for whatever assignment that God has given you. Amen. And if you can't do it well, either one, you're not anointed for it. Or number two, you're relying on your own ability. You see, Zerubbabel was given the task to rebuild this wall. But he was being opposed by the king. And so God told Zerubbabel, I'm going to remove the opposition. And I'm going to remove it, and it's going to be by my grace. It's going to be not by your might, not by your effort, but if you rely on my grace, rely on my anointing. Why are there seven anointings? Because to get anything done in life, you need to have different types of anointings. Hallelujah. I don't need the spirit of might to balance a budget. Does that make sense? I need the spirit of might. I need the spirit of wisdom to balance the budget. Hallelujah. I don't need the spirit of wisdom to heal a cancerous tumor. I need the spirit of might to heal a cancerous tumor. Does that make sense? So there's seven different anointings, seven different aspects of the Holy Spirit that is available for every one of us as a Christian for us to walk in it. But if we rely on our own effort, we short circuit the anointing of God. And then you find yourself striving. You find yourself struggling. There's no struggle in God's will unless you're trying to do his will on your own. Imagine that. Imagine it's God's will. I'll give you a simple example. It's God's will to fill someone with the Holy Spirit, for them to get the gift of speaking in tongues. But here, instead of relying on the Holy Ghost power, you're relying on yourself, and you begin to pour oil on their head. Their clothes now are stained. You begin to shake them, and you begin to say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You start speaking to them, and you start spitting in their face. Then you start pushing them, and they start walking backwards, and you push them all the way to the back of the room. Or worse, you push them on the floor. And they're on the floor, you pushed them down, spit all over their face, and they still haven't gotten the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. Was it God's will to fill them with the Holy Ghost? Yes, but the minister went about it trying to do it in his own strength, in his own might. We had a guy in my church from Ghana. He used to push everybody down. And so I called him up after the service, and I said, listen, I'm going to let you pray for people at the altar, but now from this day forward, don't touch them. Just put your hand in front of them and pray. Don't make physical contact. And believe God for the anointing to touch them, not you. So you know what happened the next Sunday? The next Sunday, I gave an altar call. He was down at the altar. Somebody was up there. He stretched out his hand. He placed it in front of their belly, and he didn't touch them. He just prayed and prayed, and the power of God hit that person. They fell on the ground. Nobody had to touch them. You see, if you're going to be a preacher or a minister, you could touch them, or God could touch them. Which one is better? Well, we always want to touch them. Why? Because we want to do it by our might, by our power. Amen. But what about relying on the Holy Ghost to do it? The Holy Ghost does it. It's sweatless. That's why the priests in the temple, they had to wear linen garments because they were not supposed to sweat. When you're in ministry before God, you're not supposed to exert enough effort to break a sweat. You're supposed to stand in the peace of God and let the Spirit of God minister through you. So they had to wear linen clothing. A picture, again, of God wanting to work through you. Not by your might, not by your power, but by His Spirit. The seven spirits of God. We're going to end right here in Zechariah chapter 4. We started off with this verse today. You guys heard me say it. Maybe you didn't know it was in the Bible. Zechariah 4:10. When you get there, say amen. Who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, or by those seven empowerments of the Holy Spirit, He's going to get the job done. We're going to see the plummet. Don't despise the day of small beginnings and tough beginnings, for you shall see the plummet. Watch what He says here. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, for they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Those seven. What are they? The seven anointings, right? The seven candlesticks. He tells you here what they are. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro in the whole earth. The seven spirits of God are running all over the earth looking for a priest, like I said today. You're the Pope, you're the priest, you're the minister, looking for Christians. The word Christ means anointed. Christian means the little anointed ones, or the anointed ones anointed after the order of Jesus' priesthood. That's what it means. The eyes of God are running to and fro, the seven spirits of God looking to empower those who will yield to God's working through their life, whether it's in your marriage, your business, your family, in your ministry. The seven spirits of God are looking, running to and fro in the earth, looking for those who will cooperate with Him and partner with Him and yield to Him. How do you do that? By letting go of your own control, letting go of your own effort, and letting God do it. Because if God did it, in our heart, He gets all the glory. He doesn't care as much who gets the glory in the public, but He really cares in your heart. Do you think you did it because you're great? Or do you know it was all God? Amen. Father, we thank You for this message tonight. We thank You for having correct definitions so we could get to the correct destination, that we be encouraged today to know that the spirits of God, the seven different anointings, abilities, and power, empowering of the Spirit are all available to those who will yield their abilities, their might, their effort, who would, in the words of some, let go and let God. And Father, we thank you that our testimony is grace. Grace has laid the finishing stone of our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm Bishop Joseph Castillo, and this is Living Proofs Podcast. I know you are blessed and encouraged, and I want to invite you today to receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. He died for your sins so you don't have to die in that mucky mire of sin. He had lifted you up, shed his blood so you could be forgiven of everything that you've ever done. And all you need to do is open up the door and let the King of Glory come into your heart with the words of your lips. Repeat after me, and God will start a new chapter in your life today. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you now, just as I am. I am a sinner born in sin. But God, you sent your Son to die for my sins. And on the third day, he was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. Wash me in the blood. Forgive my sins. Send your Spirit in my heart. From this day forward, I have new life. I have boldness to share the gospel with others. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you said that prayer, I want you to contact the ministry. You could Facebook us, you could email us, you could Instagram us. We're on all those platforms. Bishop Joseph Castillo. Just go to our Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Email me if you want, bishop@theriverchurchtulsa.com. And we'd like to give you a free gift so you can understand this new walk with Christ that God has given you today. It's my book called Reality or Religion, The Beginner's Guide to Faith. We'll send you a copy. If this broadcast has blessed you, I want you to share it with others. And I want you to also partner with our ministry. Help us carry the good news of the gospel across the earth. And you can do so at theriverchurchtulsa.com or asiarevival.com. Once again, that's asiarevival.com or theriverchurchtulsa.com. If you need prayer, feel free to call us at 773-599-7197.